For broadcasting or advertising opportunities, call 1-888-303-3884 or visit wildfireradio.com and click on Contacts.
You are listening to The Straight Shooters exclusively on Wildfire Radio. Subscribe to The Straight Shooters podcast on iTunes by visiting the iTunes store and download every episode on wildfireradio.com. Now, here's Vaughn Johnson and Nick Picone bringing you the latest and greatest in the world of professional wrestling.
Oh, Shooters Radio Universe!
My name, of course, is Vaughn Johnson.
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky. I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like a parkour champion.
You got me mad now.
What is your name?
As always, with my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Picone.
That's me.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
You know, you got a plastic.
I don't really know us like you think that you do.
I'm Ryan Isley.
What is he doing?
My God! Is he the third man?
He's the third man!
What the hell is going on here?
Straight Shooters is, the number one show on Wildfire Radio.
I'm feeling good.
No sleep, no food, no nothing. Just maniacism.
Well, all the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, Hal.
Sorry.
What actually happened on the show? Nothing.
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, out there in internet land? My name is Vaughn Johnson, and I'm joined, as always, by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Picone of Philly Voice and Philly Influencer, which had a big week this week, Philly Influencer, with a big announcement. Probably let you talk about it in a second. We got to plug our stuff here on episode 210 of The Straight Shooters on a whole multitude of platforms. But before I get into those platforms and tell you in detail which platforms you can find us on, Nick, you've had a little bit of an up and down week, but the good part of the week you can tell us about in a second, but... I'll let you tell the people how you doing tonight, my good brother.
I'm doing good. As we're recording this, the Phillies are winning 11-3 and coming off a bad loss last night. It makes me a little bit happier. They're so close to a wild card spot, two games out. And listen, the Phillies have been my number one team since I've been like 5 years old. I'm just holding on to that little string of hope that they're dangling, that they've been dangling for us Phillies fans. And Philly sports fans, really, because there's nothing been going on. Before the Eagles started training camp, there was nothing going on. The Union, they're having a great season, but still, you know, they're not in the mix when it comes to... I mean, they'll get there, I think, but they're still not in the mix. So
first place right now, though.
Yeah. So they're having a great season, but the Phillies have given us a summer to forget. And so now as the fall rolls in, man, the playoff push, I don't care what they've done up to this point. September is a great month anyway, so the chase... to the playoffs is on, and I am ready for it.
Hey, man, they had didn't they have a big month in September when they first made the playoffs in 07?
Yeah.
They trailed a good amount, and the Mets kind of like collapsed a little.
Yeah, they were trailing seven games from the first place New York Mets with 17 games left to play.
Wow.
And they got into the playoffs the last day of the season, so it was incredible. And, you know, it's funny that last weekend, the Phillies actually got into first place by a game that Friday because they won and the Mets lost. But then that Saturday, the Phillies lost and the Mets won, so then they were tied going into that final Sunday, and the Mets got hammered, I think, by the Marlins. I think the Marlins beat them up pretty good. Tom Glavine got shelled, and then the Phillies did what they had to do. I forget what team they beat. It might have been the Braves. I don't exactly remember, the Nationals, maybe. But yeah, they won that, and that was awesome. And that was the year before they won the World Series, because they got swept out of the playoffs that year. Even if they make the playoffs, like, I'm not worried about it. I like the chase, you know, like the just making it there, at least playing one game that actually matters. Even if they lose, will still be fun. So I'm all in.
Wow. Since what, 2011 has been in the playoffs? So
yeah,
crazy it's been that long, but you know, transitioned out of that to some pro wrestling, because you listen to us talk about the Phillies for a whole hour. You listen to us talk about some pro wrestling. We got some important pro wrestling to talk about on this year's show. Because this weekend coming up is AEW's All Out pay per view, which is what they're.
I thought you were going to say NXT UK, Cardiff.
No. No disrespect to NXT UK. But no diets on that one. We're talking about All Out, baby, AEW, right. All Elite Wrestling, which is, this is what, their fourth show? We had Double or Nothing, Fighter Fest, Fight for the Fallen.
Yeah. And, yep.
And this, right?
May, June, July, and this will be August, yep.
Yeah, so their fourth show, their last show before they start their television deal with TNT. So that picks up in October 2nd down in D.C. But All Out this weekend, it's going to be an historic show because their first ever AEW World Champion will be crowned on this pay-per-view. So we're going to talk about each match on this show, give our predictions, just kind of talk about where AEW is heading into this final show, this final event, before their television, weekly television program kicks up, starts up in a little over a month. So we're going to pretty much All Elite Wrestling is going to be all over the show on episode 210. But before we get into All Elite Wrestling, let me remind you where you can find us on these here interwebs. Of course, we're on Apple Podcasts. You can rate, review, and subscribe to us there. You can also do that on Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, SoundCloud, Spotify, and of course, the mothership, wildfireradio.com. We can find all 209 prior episodes of The Straight Shooters. Not to mention exclusive content on Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio. You can subscribe to some exclusive content for the nominal fee of $1.99. That exclusive content includes interviews with Blue Meanie, live commentaries, and other various things we've done on Patreon as well. Check it out, patreon.com/shootersradio, and it's only $1.99. You can't get much for $1.99 nowadays.
Yeah,
man. I'm not even sure you can get a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, a BLT, but you can get our content.
That's right. Shout out to Dunkin' Donuts. You can probably get two pumpkin donuts for one because I think they're 99 cents each. So
I'll add us for a sponsorship, Dunkin' Donuts.
That's right, man.
I'll eat donuts every day if you gave us a sponsorship.
Dude, I would drink a pumpkin spice latte every single day for of the year if you gave us sponsorship. So
yeah, I don't drink coffee, but
I eat donuts. Really? I did not know that. No,
not a coffee guy, not me. So, but I'll eat some donuts though. So come highlight the Dunkin' Donuts.
I'm with you.
All right, so All Elite Wrestling's All Out, which is like the unofficial sequel of sorts to All In from a year ago, before it. All Elite Wrestling was even a thing. It's taking place this weekend in Chicago, Sears Center, and well, I think it's technically Rosemont, Illinois, but all the branding and all the advertising to Chicago because that's a more marketable city. Sorry, Rosemont. You'll be all right, though.
Exactly what WWE does with New York and North Jersey.
Of course. And they do it with this building, too.
Yeah, true.
Nobody calls this building, oh, we're going to Rosemont. Going to Chicago, home of the Bears and the Bulls. Even though none of those teams, neither one of those teams play in this building, but you know. You know what I'm saying? Match by match on this card. Of course, again, the main event is for the AEW World Championship. But on the buy-in, which is their pre-show, there's a casino battle royale where the winner will receive a title match for the All Elite Wrestling Women's World Championship. And we're going to start there with the battle royal. Now, I'm reading this from two different places. I got AEW's card pulled up, but I also got, I guess, CBSSports.com. So they got the list of participants in this battle, or the announced participants. Shout out to Jack Crosby, who's over at CBS Sports. Good follow on Twitter. They got the list of announced participants in the battle royale. It's not all of them, but here's just the announced participants in this match so far.
Wikipedia has them, too. So shout out to Wikipedia.
I tried to not use Wikipedia anymore. Like
that's good. I mean, that's fine. That's fine. But for me, it's right here.
Their number one source for match cards in wrestling.
Exactly. And attendance records.
And match times, too.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
They got all that in there, too. Okay, the announced participants in this match. We got Britt Baker, Jazz, Sadie Gibbs, Teal Piper, who's the daughter of Rowdy Roddy Piper, for those who don't know. Big Swole, Ariel Monroe, Brandi Rhodes, Nyla Rose, Allie, Yuka Sakazaki, and Ivelisse, who is I don't know if she's officially signed, but she's in this match. That's a big get for them. So of the announced participants, Nick, who you got in this match?
Oh, man. It might be somebody that's not been announced yet, but I'm going to go with, I want them to prove me wrong. And so far, they haven't really proved me wrong in terms of people that run the show, letting other people win. So I'm just going to go with Brandi Rhodes here because I think the heel heat was kind of going to be out of this world when it comes to that. And I know, like, it's going to be on the pre-show, so you probably don't want to, like, piss your audience off right away, especially when it's not the pay-per-view. But I don't know. I just have a feeling Brandi Rhodes, they're going to kind of ride this heat in a way, because no one wants to see Brandi Rhodes as the champion. But title shot doesn't mean that she's going to be a champ. be the champion. So Brandi Rhodes, I don't know. I like that. I think it gives that match a little something extra. She's not the biggest name, but like she could use that to her advantage.
She's a big enough name.
Yeah.
I will not go with Brandi Rhodes. I will go with Britt Baker. Mm. They've been pushing her since the inception of All Elite Wrestling, and I think that they'll give her the nod. Again, at least for her to be in a title match. Now, that doesn't mean she's going to win the title, even though she's, a good pick to potentially win the title outright at, you know, whenever that match comes along. But I think to at least be in that match, I think Britt Baker is a safe bet to at least be in that title match. And the quickest way for her to get there will be to win this match.
I would like that. I would like to see that.
So also on the buy-in, we got Private Party versus Angelico and Jack Evans. There's really no storyline here for me to go off of, so I'm going to go with Private Party.
Yeah, me too. I mean, when you have a team name, usually means you go over, right?
I guess.
Angelico and Jack Evans, they have a team name? Oh.
What is their name?
Los Guerreros del Cielo.
Nobody calls them that. It's Angelico and Jack Evans. Even all AEW's poster on the website says Angelico and Jack Evans.
Okay. So they're not going by Wikipedia then. Good for them.
I mean, generally shouldn't, but you know.
Private Party sounds cooler too.
Yeah, I mean, I get
going
it.
Going based off the name.
That's so you're going Private Party?
Yeah.
All right. E3, I guess, on this one. Next on the card, we got Riho. Is that, I believe that's how you say it, right? I don't know why I'm asking you, like, you know.
Wikipedia says Riho, so.
Okay. Versus Hikaru Shida. I'm not really familiar with either one of these women, but I'm sure they're going to put on a fine match. I'm going to go with Hikaru Shida.
Man, Riho was born June 4th, 1997, the height of the wrestling war, the best year of the wrestling war.
You don't even remember that.
So I'll go Riho, just because of that.
Okay. next on the card is Joey Janela in a triple threat against Jimmy Havoc and Darby Allin. This would be a bloodbath, and a lot of crazy stuff's going to happen in this match. I fully expect that. But I have a funny feeling that Darby Allin's going to pick up the win here.
Hmm. I like that. But this is just a normal triple threat match.
Oh.
There is a name that's sponsored.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're
not going to call it the triple threat. We're going to call it the Cracker Barrel Clash.
Dude, let's take a pause for a second here.
You got some feelings on this, huh?
AEW is doing good things. And this is, hey, I'm not going to knock your hustle. Get your money, boo-boo. You got to get that sponsorship money. And they've been getting that Cracker Barrel money for a long time. Even that, I forget what show it was. They literally had a Cracker Barrel in the ring before the match, which just made no sense. But
yeah, was it Double or Nothing? I think it was.
But for this Cracker Barrel Clash, come on. You can't just take their money and let them do whatever they want. We got to do something that works best for people on both sides. So we got to do something better than Cracker Barrel Clash. Because if WWE did this, and this is not beneath WWE, they would do something like this. People would trash it. They'd be like, Cracker Barrel Clash. I can't even say it right. Say that to
Cracker Barrel Clash. Cracker Barrel Clash. Cracker Barrel Clash.
I almost said Cracker Barrel Crash. Mm. But like, come on. That just sounds silly.
And imagine Jim Ross saying that.
I know what it's for. You got sponsorship obligations. I get it. It's not always sometimes that isn't always the best stuff you produce. But we gotta have like a give and take here, because this looks kind of lame. Especially for this match. This match is probably going to be some daring spots, some crazy stuff happening. Yeah. And there might even be some blood in this match. And this is the match you put on a Cracker Barrel Clash? All right.
Are Cracker Barrels around the country going to be televising this? That'd be awesome.
Cracker Barrel.
I'll go with you. I think Darby Allin, he had a good showing against Cody. So I think out of the three names in this match, he's the one that serves to gain the most from a win. So I'll go with him. I think that's a good pick. But man, I'm excited to see if, they go to Cracker Barrel, like they show a vignette of him at Cracker Barrel after the match or something like that. That would be really cool. It would make me want to go to Cracker Barrel,
I guess. Do you have a winner? You said,
yeah, Darby Allin. Yeah,
Darby Allin. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I missed that in the midst of your whole thing. So we agree on that one as well. Darby Allin for the win. How about the Best Friends versus the Dark Order, with the winner getting a bye in the AEW World Tag Team Championship Tournament? Who you got?
To me, Best Friends, I don't think is going to be Tag Team Championship material right away, so I'll go with the Dark Order.
I agree. I agree again, because it seems like a heel thing to give the Dark Order, to give them a first round bye.
Yeah,
like that's something a heel team would have. It's like the War Games back in the day when the bad guys will always win the toss to get the main advantage. So
yeah,
And if they really want to build a Dark Order up to be this heel faction, which, I mean, I don't know if people necessarily buying into it, but this seems like this is their plan, they should go over in this match. The Best Friends, they're a team that you could probably beat them to Kingdom Come and people still be into them and, you know. So that's the vibe I give from them at least. But so we agree, the Dark Order wins and get that bye in the Tag Team Championship Tournament. This is an interesting match here, though. Very interested in it. Shawn Spears with Tully Blanchard in his corner. Very interesting pairing there. Going against, well, he's just Cody, but Cody Rhodes in a grudge match. Who you got here?
You know, I think they'll string this out a little bit. So I'll go Shawn Spears. I think this isn't a one-match feud. I think it's something that they could drag out for a little bit and have it remain interesting and matches that people want to see. And having Tully Blanchard there adds, you know, an effective old school, you know, it's Tully and Dusty, and now Tully and Dusty's son, you know, like there's stories to be told that we haven't even seen yet. I know they've posted things on YouTube and all that, but I think obviously Spears gets the win and you drag this out. Because if Cody wins, I don't know, it doesn't make sense for me to have them drag it out.
We agree too
if
much.
Cody wins.
I agree as well, again, with you. Shawn Spears, who just got married recently, apparently, according to WWE at least. I don't think AEW said anything, but WWE said Peyton Royce and Ty Dillinger, the man formerly known as Ty Dillinger, got married.
Hilarious. I didn't even know that.
Congrats. He is on their Twitter. So congrats to them on being married, and congrats to Shawn Spears, because I think he's going to win this match as well.
Exactly. So, that'd be the highlight of his month, the match.
Don't tell Peyton Royce that. Hopefully he gets to consummate his marriage before Drake Maverick does. Who, yes. I love when Drake Maverick says he got consummated his marriage. He actually, like, physically helps the air when he does it. He has to charge.
That's one of the best things WWE's done in a long time. So that's hilarious.
It's really funny. They were at the Fox events and Rob Stone won the 24/7 title. That's really funny.
Yeah. And people are like, oh, that title has no credibility. I'm like, get the hell. It's not
credibility from day one.
I know. So get out of here. Rob Stone winning, like, acting like R-Truth, like, are you okay? Get a ref in here and pinning him. Like, that's hilarious, man. I loved
it. Who said that the belt has no credibility?
It was a while ago. It was before that. It was before that Fox hit. So
the title.
But it was a good friend of the podcast, Brett. Like, that title has no credibility, and I kind of called him out, but I think he might have been, like, tongue-in-cheek, but, like,
I hope
he wasn't the only one, so it's like, really? Like, you're looking for credibility for a 24/7 title. Okay. Criticism of WWE just got way out of hand at that point.
The title never had credibility from the moment Mick Foley held it up in the air. It's like, here it is! It had zero credibility from that point forward.
So, I love that. That's the moment. That is the moment.
Like, come on. It never had credibility. Right. So let's not get carried away. But back to AEW. I agree with you. Shawn Spears, like I said, it feels like this is going to be a long-term story. They didn't put Tully Blanchard with Shawn Spears just to lose his first match, pretty much. Joe's first one-on-one match on a big show like this. So I agree. Shawn Spears defeats Cody Rhodes, and we'll see what happens from there. I think maybe Cody gets people involved on his side, maybe an Arn Anderson when he's available, maybe Arn Anderson turns on him or something like that. Then you got DDP. You know, there's a lot of different things they could do here, and they get the legends propping up the young guys, which is, I think, is a good idea, which WWE should take note of. They never do. They just have Goldberg and cut somebody in half in 45 seconds, and off we go. Moving on. AAA Tag Team Championship defended in a ladder match. The Lucha Brothers defending against the Young Bucks. This match is going to be insane. I'm fully expecting multiple car crashes or, you know, car crash-esque spots in this match. At the end of the day, I shall predict the Lucha Bros to retain the AAA tag title.
Interesting.
Yep.
I know this is the AAA tag titles, but it's an AEW show, and I thought about this a few weeks ago. I can't see, so they're the top four, right? Cody, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega, the top four in AEW that run the show. I don't, if one of them loses, I don't see, like, most of them losing. So if Cody's going to lose, and we'll get to Kenny's match later on, and I think just the fact that you can switch the titles here, and you could do a rematch, you know, first TV, whatever, or in Philly, that would be cool. Another rematch, and then have
the AAA titles. They could do the AAA.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they could always win them back. So I don't know. I don't see the Young Bucks losing here. Maybe they do a thing where they win by DQ, but I don't see AEW doing that.
It's a ladder match.
Oh, that's right. It doesn't say that here on Wikipedia.
See, this is why you can't trust Wikipedia.
Wow. Wikipedia, you failed me.
CBS, though, says ladder match in parentheses.
Oh, wait a second. I totally lied. It says ladder match in Spanish. Escalera de la Muerte.
Oh, that's yeah, because it's a AAA match, so it's going to be a ladder match. It's going to be that.
Oh, my goodness. I need my eyes checked, dude. This is bad.
Get some glasses,
this
fam.
This is bad. It's yeah. I have them, but I take them off for the podcast because I can see better.
You should.
But I thought I could see better, at least.
You're blind.
But, yeah, I'll go Young Bucks here. Kind of like it'd be like interesting to see them win the AAA tag titles, you know, and see what they do with the Lucha Brothers. But like I said, I just don't see if I think Cody's going to lose. I don't see how the Young Bucks lose as well.
I just think that they won those titles already. It's not like they haven't won the titles yet. Yeah. So this is like a blow off almost to their feud. It's only right the Lucha Brothers keep them to me. That's just And the Young Bucks, they can be the tag champs if they're in that tag tournament at some point. I don't know. But
man, that would be lame. That would be even worse, I think.
They could win the Mexican promotion titles, but they can't win the AEW titles.
Yeah, like they're making the decisions in AEW. They're not making the decisions in the Mexican.
It's conflict of interest. But if Vince McMahon can be WWE champion, can be the tag team.
Yeah, but then everyone on AEW's side doesn't want that. They want something different. That's because to do the same damn thing that WWE does, what makes them different?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you don't have to, they're not authority figures really on TV like that, right? They're just wrestlers.
And everybody knows. Everyone that watches AEW knows.
Of course they know, and that's very true. But you don't have to ham-fist it. You know, you just, it's not ham-fisted. It's not like it's down your throat. They come out on TV and they book matches. It's just,
yeah, it's exactly. Yeah, but so, still, I just think, like I've said it before, I think we're too, the wrestling fan today is quote unquote too smart for their own good because we know too much. So it doesn't matter if they're not coming out and being the authority figure on TV, everyone still knows they're basically making the decisions. So I just feel like for me, them beating the Lucha Brothers wouldn't be like that bad because of that. And I think that down the road, they would need a rematch, obviously, and a different outcome. But I just feel like Young Bucks are probably going to get cheered and have a big moment on their last show before TV, and I think that's a big moment that you could have.
I Lucha Brothers.
We shall see.
Lucha Brothers. semi-main event, which was supposed to be a grudge match, but is now turned into like a kind of a showcase match. Of course, if you didn't know, Jon Moxley has a staph infection. Essentially, has MRSA in his elbow, and he needs surgery to remove the bursa sac from his elbow. There's going to be he had to pull out of this show, which he said, you know, effing sucks, but hey, you might die if you keep MRSA in your body, so get that fixed. He's supposed to face Kenny Omega, so that match is off, and AEW replaced Moxley with Pac, man formerly known as Neville, and although this match doesn't have any backstory behind it, no real heat, but two great athletes in Kenny Omega and Pac makes this still a pretty damn good match. Like, hey, you know what? Not a bad replacement. Who you got, Nick?
I think the right decision is to go with Pac, but I know I said the Young Bucks would win and Cody would lose, but I just feel like Kenny Omega is not going to lose because they want that eventual match with Jon Moxley. So why would you have the placeholder for Moxley beat Omega? Like, I don't understand that. I know AEW is supposed to be different. It's supposed to be more sports centric. So you're not like building Kenny Omega. He's already been built. But I still don't see the logic in having him lose to Pac when the real match was supposed to be against Moxley, when you can do that down the road. So, and hopefully not too much further down the road. Maybe when Moxley finally gets healthy, that would be, it would be him and Omega right away. So I don't think Omega loses here. I'll go with Kenny Omega.
I agree. Although I don't know if there's going to be an issue with, you know, the whole thing with Pac, he pulled out of Double or Nothing because he apparently didn't want to lose. I think he wanted, because he was Dragon Gate champion. I don't think he's Dragon Gate champion right now. But if that's, you know, if that's in the past and totally water under the bridge, which I'm sure it is water under the bridge, but if that's in the past and that ain't the case no more, yeah, I think Kenny Omega has to win, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems, he lost to Jericho at, what was it, Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
And he beat Chima on, I forget exactly what show that was, but this is his biggest match since the Jericho match. Yeah. I think he's going to win.
Yeah, I agree.
So, going with Kenny Omega. And finally, the main event of the evening, the All Elite Wrestling World Championship is on the line. Chris Jericho going up against Adam Hangman Page. Nick, this is historic. This is, you know, this is a big deal. This is the very first world champion in AEW's history. It's important to get off on a good note. Who you got?
I like how you said it's important to get off on a good note. And I'll take it one step further in saying it's important to get off on a smart note. And I didn't think I would say this a few months ago, but I thought Chris Jericho in the main event for the title was a bad decision back then. But at this point, out of those two, Hangman Page and Chris Jericho, who would you rather have carry your program onto TNT and through the cities, Boston, Philly, Pittsburgh, West Virginia or whatever. But Chris Jericho, I think, is that guy. I think he's the guy that people gravitate to, that they will pay attention to. And not that Hangman Page doesn't deserve it, but maybe they make a run. It's always better when the babyface is chasing the heel, right? The story always seems to be better when that happens. And I think AEW can make a great story out of it. This point is a show ever, but will August always be like their big show of the year? Maybe not. So when their WrestleMania comes, whenever they decide that is, I think that's when you might not have Hangman Page as the champion, but whoever you build should beat Jericho for the title. And I like the idea now. I didn't a few months ago, but I like the idea of Jericho bringing in those viewers, because I think he will, even though he's in his 40s or whatever. I still think he's reinvented himself so many times that I think AEW can bank on him bringing in the casual viewer to TNT. So that's why ultimately I'm going to go with Chris Jericho. I'm not going to be mad if, Hangman Page is their guy and they go with him, because I'd like to see something different. But at the same time, they're a business, and they would probably do the same thing WWE would do in terms of wanting to get eyeballs on their product. They're not going to go, they don't have a TV deal with TNT just so they can give the hardcore fans something different. They want casual viewers too, and you'll never convince me otherwise. So I think Chris Jericho is the guy right now.
I disagree with you. Because AEW is like, it's coming off, at least they're coming off at the beginning, as sort of anti-establishment. We're new, we're hip, we're not like, the old guard. To me, and you make valid points in that Jericho is a face that you want to promote because he's a big star. And there's no doubt about it. Jericho's a legend, he's a Hall of Famer, and very recognizable to casual fans who, they may not recognize him with a stupid hat on, but they recognize the name Chris Jericho. He's been around.
Yeah.
But I think if you're AEW, you want to, kind of go against the grain, but like say, hey, we're the new kids on the block. And here's our guy. Here's our new champion who you may not know now, but he's good. He's beat Chris Jericho to get that big hunk of metal that's on his shoulder. And you know Chris Jericho. This guy beat him. Come watch these new guys that you may or may not know on our television show. Because I'm telling you, like, as much as, it helps to have those big names, when you push them so far to the forefront, look what it did for TNA back in the day. They had Sting as a champion, they had Kurt Angle and all those other guys as big names as champions, but having big names as champions doesn't always, obviously they booked themselves into oblivion. It was, they messed themselves up in the end. But at the end of the day, people would just flock to it because they had Kurt Angle as champion or Sting as champion or whomever. And if anything, I think it hurt them because you saw them in WWE at their peak or WCW at their peak. Now you're looking at it now, it's like, this just like WWE light. I don't think if you're AEW, and I hate to say it about Chris Jericho because I know he's super talented and he is a big name, he's worthy. But for me, I think if I'm a person who hasn't been following this from day one like we have, and I see Chris Jericho as the champion, it just feels like, oh, that's just WWE, but not WWE. But you get Hangman the first title, and you got this guy that a lot of people haven't seen before as your champion. I think that at least that adds a little bit of intrigue, at least for me. Now, I'm sure people will disagree, and I understand. I know a lot of people agree with you, and they see it. Your thought process is not a flawed thought. Not I say a flawed one, but it's not. Kind of bad thought process. It makes sense. It makes logical sense. But I don't know. If I just want to add some intrigue and not feel like WWE at all, this is totally separate. These are different guys. Yeah, Moxley, Cody, Jericho, Sean Spears even, they've all been in WWE, but the main guy and the main guys are like Hangman, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega. This is something different. So that's the direction I'm trying to go into. And if that's the direction that I would do it, I would go with Adam Hangman Page as my first world champion. Now, I see your point in that maybe you want to build to that big babyface champion moment. But the thing is, Paige hasn't had to hold that title for like a year. I mean, you probably want him to have a good reign with it in the beginning. But like you said, we don't know when that show, because I think it's smart to have like one big show. Like every promotion's had it. Yeah. I think it makes sense. You could book your whole year to kind of have everything blow off in that, you know, on that show. Like I said, every promotion has it. Of course, WWE has WrestleMania. Ring of Honor has Final Battle. TNA, or Impact, I should say, has Bound for Glory. On and on and on. AAA has Triple Mania. New Japan has Wrestle Kingdom. You know, on and on and on. We don't know what AEW is yet, but they might, like you said, might book it for August next year. It might be at the end of the year. They might do like a Thanksgiving type of thing with, you know, like back in the day in the territories with the biggest shows of the year.
I'm all for that.
Right. So maybe that's when they'll... He could lose a title 6 months from now, and they still have another 6 months to build up to that big show. So we'll see.
And that makes sense. And your thought process isn't flawed at all. I think the way they should go is definitely Hangman Page, because it is different. But I also see the business sense in that, well, they flip on first AEW on TNT, which is going head-to-head with NXT, which has been on that time slot for a few weeks then at this point. And then you see Hangman Page and not Chris Jericho as the world champion here. And you're like, who's this? I've known these NXT guys, you know, for a while. So I think maybe they... And I didn't even think about NXT when I was talking earlier. I didn't even think about when they go head-to-head with NXT. But maybe now they have to think... Okay, Jericho's got to be the guy, because NXT, if the product doesn't change, it's going to be really good. And we need Jericho to be the one that takes eyeballs off that show. So, but I don't know how many people are actually going to watch NXT over AEW, especially in the beginning. But, you know, if I'm AEW, I have to think about that.
Plus, NXT is going to be available on the network the next day.
Exactly. And that's part of my point, where I'm probably not going to watch NXT live at all. I'll DVR it, because who knows what they'll edit out on the network version. So I want to make sure that, in case, you know, like we see some crazy stuff that's edited out, you know, I still have it on the DVR, but I'm definitely not going to watch it live when AEW's on. AEW is going to be the priority at that point. But again, if I'm AEW, I'm thinking, right, head-to-head with NXT, do I go Jericho? And then Jericho has the ability to tell that story and get you invested into whatever he's doing. So maybe that's part of their thought process. If they go with Jericho, like, not only is he champion, but like, he's a great talker, and maybe Hangman Page isn't there yet. So, you know, I think about those things, and I don't think there's a wrong decision that they could make, because I see the positives with Jericho and I see the positives with Hangman Page. I just see more positives because, I guess, of Jericho's history, and you know, you could rely on him. But can you rely on Hangman Page just yet? I don't know.
And that's, like I said, these are all valid points. I'm not going to, you know, scream blasphemy for you saying that. I just think that, I don't know. Because, again, I think we forget sometimes that AEW, a lot of these guys in AEW being exposed to a new audience for pretty much, especially when they go on TNT, when they have the pay-per-views and the Bleacher Report Lives, that's one thing, you know, because that you got to go out of your, you almost got to go out of your way to see that. And it's, they got dedicated fans seeing those shows. When you're on cable TV or whatever, now you have a huge net of potential fans that might be channel surfing or whatever, and they're going through their guide. I do this every time I watch TV. I hit the guide up and I just go through and see what's on. Somebody might see AEW wrestling. What is this? And they pop it on. To me, if they haven't watched wrestling in a while and they see, what the hell is this AEW wrestling stuff on TNT of all places? They see Chris Jericho in that stupid fedora, which, I mean, look, I like hats. I like cool hats like that. Just not in that specific style. I don't like Chris Jericho's fedora. It's like the one when it's like, it's down, the brim is down on the side and it's like flipped up in the back. I hate that. Just make it, the brim is a consistent brim. That's what I want. Either it's flipped up all around or it's flat all around. But I digress. They see Chris Jericho in that stupid fedora, like he's a clockwork arm, and he's the champion. It's like, is this like a subsidiary of WWE? Is this... That's just how I think people would take it. But if you see Adam Page and he's a champion, or Kenny Omega and he's not the champion, but he's different, you know, you see somebody you haven't really seen before. Hell, there's people that don't even know Jon Moxley is. And he's been on WWE TV for what, 7 years? Since 2012? So that's just my logic behind it. At the end of the day, it's super intriguing. It's super interesting. And this is a big decision for AEW. Who are we going to go into our television debut as our champion? This sets the tone for your promotion moving forward.
Yep.
Now, it won't make or break the promotion, obviously, but this sets the tone. This definitely sets a tone, at least initially, for the promotion this is important. And hey, we'll see what happens. I'm very intrigued to see what happens. And I think at the end of the day, it's gonna be a really good match. Maybe because I like Hangman Page a lot. I think he's going to be, even though I think he's going to be the champions come this weekend, but I think he will even surpass this level of babyface and become an even bigger babyface in due time. So time will tell. But let's talk about a little bit before we wrap up here, just where AEW is as a promotion heading into this weekend. Because like you said, this is the final show heading into the TNT deal starting in October 2nd. They don't have any other scheduled events until then. That's hence why it's the final show. I just said that. But they got the Cracker Barrel Clash in the show. They got some sponsorship stuff lined up. They got their first five, six television tapings lined up. What are your thoughts on what kind of AEW is heading into the show and beyond leading into October 2nd?
I mean, I think it's kind of clear that they've got a plan. And we've seen many companies over the years that, like, you think they have a plan, but they don't. And then they just kind of let everything catch up with them. They lose talent. Their TV deals go away. Their product gets stale. I think AEW has done a good job at this point of spacing everything out. It's left people wanting more, which is definitely different than the promotions before it. Like TNA, they started right away every week for the pay-per-views. And then once they got the TV deal, they were taping episodes of Impact in the Impact Zone or whatever. We've seen what AEW can be. They've had three shows so far. Their biggest show coming up this Saturday, I think that will be their best show, because I think they've kind of built everything since Double or Nothing. Everything's been building towards this show. They've had the other two shows, which were good. They weren't great, but they were good. And I think that's, as a company, you can see that you didn't need every show to be great. You didn't need everyone to talk about your shows in terms of, oh, that was the best AEW show ever. No one said that about Fyter Fest. No one said that about Fight for the Falling. And really, they shouldn't have. And those two events shouldn't have been booked to be their AEW's best event. So Double or Nothing was their best event thus far. And I think they've shown the smarts that not every pay-per-view needs to be the best. Like, yes, you want to like top yourself every time, but that only goes so far, man. You see what happened with the Attitude Era. Everyone's trying to top week after week after week, and then eventually you just crash and burn, and then the product goes haywire. So once they get into that weekly television is when I think we'll really see the plan, the fallout of the plan. Well, not fallout. Fallout has a negative connotation, I think. We're going to see like what their plan has done for them to this point. Because All Out, I think, is one of it's more anticipated than Double or Nothing, I think, in my opinion. Just the last show they had was early July. So this is like the last day of August, man. Like, it's been a long time. So I think that helps them. And they want people wanting more. And they're given some good content on YouTube. They're building this without weekly TV. So I think as a company, they probably have the best plan in place I've seen since, even better than when TNA came along, Ring of Honor, Impact, when they rebranded from TNA to Impact. Like, Impact Wrestling hasn't been a bad product, but nobody cares about it. And that's tough. So everyone cares about AEW. I think they are smart enough. They have the brain power to understand what's too much and what's not enough. And I think right now, as of August 28th, they've done almost a perfect job of setting up themselves for this Saturday and for the beginning of TV. I'm excited. I think as a company, they made all the right steps. And what's next is, how will they react to if they don't beat NXT in the ratings? Will they change their plan? Part of me wants to see them kind of go through some adversity, because that builds character. That, if you're not beating NXT in the ratings, that I think there's something wrong. So how will they react to that? And I think that'll tell us a lot about them as a company, and tell us a lot about Tony Khan, because if he really has faith in Cody, Omega, and the Young Bucks, he will probably try and let them figure it out when adversity comes. So I think it's a good setup right now. I don't think, like, they've said they don't want to compete with WWE, but I think that's all lip service. I think they do. Anyone that's in the wrestling business that doesn't want to be, as a company, that doesn't want to like eventually compete with WWE, it's tough, dude. Clearly it's tough, and it may, small goals might get you there. But if AEW doesn't want to be number one, then there's a problem there. But I don't think that's the case.
I'm interested And I think they've, like, I agree with you. I think they've done a really good job of kind of mapping out at least that first, say, month and a half of TV.
Yeah.
They're going to have their champion going into those TV tapings. That's cool. They're going to crown new champions from those TV tapings. I think that's good. You know, we talked about it in the last couple of weeks, how I think that, you know, it's the buildings they're running is a smart set of buildings. Not too big, but not tiny neither. And they're selling them out. So they put themselves in a good position. What I'm curious to see, though, they got about... They got over 40 wrestlers on the roster, men and women. How do they utilize those people on a two-hour show? They only got 2 hours. And WWE, they, you know, that's the reason why they had to split the roster, because they got so many wrestlers. And they got 5 hours. Now they add two more, so they're going to have 7 hours, you know, when you add NXT. And they still don't know what to do with everybody. You know, AEW has, I would say, if you, I mean, let's say WWE has, like, what, 60, 70, 80 guys almost, if you count every show.
Yeah.
With 7 hours.
At least.
It seems like. At least got people that are on TV. Not people like that are down at NXT that are not on TV, that are only doing the Florida circuit. Let's say people in NXT that are on TV and up. That's well over 50 people. And they don't know what to do with them all with, like I said, with, you know, soon to be 7 hours, now only five. How does AEW utilize their talent every week, 2 hours, only 2 hours? Now, the benefit is there's no overexposing everyone. They don't need everyone in every show. But will they have people sitting in catering, if they have catering, I'm sure they will, sitting in catering for weeks on end, like they do on WWE, you know, and will, you know, will that help morale? Will that hurt morale? We'll see what happens. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully they can find a way to use everybody, you know, at least sporadically. Maybe not every week on a consistent basis, but sporadically you can sprinkle other people in here and there. What I'm also curious to see is will there be a consistent vibe or feel to the product, or will they have a variety? WWE almost prides itself on having a variety. And AEW, and I think it works against WWE in some ways. Some ways it works for them, other ways it doesn't. But I think AEW would benefit from having a kind of like one type of feel and vibe to it. But I think they're kind of, because you look at the talent, they got some humorous acts. They got the librarians, stuff like that. And they got some different acts that are kind of like sort of humorous. Some of those buy-in matches are kind of like just more humor than anything else. You got like Orange Cassidy, who's not necessarily like the most rugged wrestler. He does the stuff with his hands in his pockets a lot. He doesn't really hit people hard. He hits people soft. It's funny, but how would that translate to mainstream television and TNT? Time will tell. But will they kind of streamline it into like a more serious product where they kind of go variety? I'm interested in seeing that on TNT when they go to TNT in the fall.
Yeah, and obviously their main product needs to be wrestling. You know, like, yeah, you need the story, that you need people caring, but the wrestling's got to be part of it. You definitely need something like the librarians. Like, I don't think it's the best thing, but I don't think it's the worst thing. So, you know, you definitely need something that, like, I'm not really going to tune in to see great wrestling inside the ring. Like, I'm going to tune in because wrestling's always been about the story for me, you know, like it's inside the ring. As long as you're putting on great matches, like, I love it, obviously. But if it's a crappy match, like, it is what it is. I don't, like, yeah, I'll criticize that. But for me, it's always about the stories. What stars are they going to create? They can't just rely on a handful of people. WWE's Achilles heel has been creating new stars. The 50-50 booking has absolutely killed their company in terms of creating new stars. AEW has to make sure that the booking creates new stars, even in losses. That's not what happens in WWE. Like, if you lose a match, it's kind of like it doesn't matter, but then you kind of get jobbed out. If you're, say, someone like Cesaro, you know, like, he hasn't been a top player in WWE and for how long? Like, he was a great tag team, yes, but he's never been like a centerpiece of anything, even when he was US champion, you know, like, I don't even remember if he was Intercontinental Champion. He probably was at some point, but
hey, I might have been able to just forget.
he's one guy that I would love to see them rally behind and really see what they have and try and create that star. And it's just something WWE hasn't done in years. So I want AEW to be to create like main stars that reach out to like the mainstream, where you're going to see people talk about them on like other shows on ESPN or something like that. Now, I don't think that's a necessity, but I think it is something that they should want. They should want their top stars to kind of like be known in the mainstream. And that's why I think Jericho is a perfect guy to really get the ball rolling when it comes to the world championship. But I definitely think the star creation needs to happen. You know, you have your top guys in Impact or, you know, Ring of Honor, but it just doesn't feel special. And maybe it's just because they're not in the mainstream. But now AEW's on TNT, man. they're going head to head with a WWE product. So I think this is where you got to create the new stars.
Well, if you create the new stars, what better way to do that than by having Hangman win the title?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But also, Jericho, it's not just a bum. He's not a Goldberg where he's going to come in and squash somebody and, you know, leave and collect his paycheck. Jericho's going to try everything in his power to get over the guys that he's working with. So at least I would think so. So we'll see what happens Saturday.
That we will. Again, very interesting weekend for AEW, especially because they're crowning its first world champion. We'll all be watching and, you know, hope it's a good show come this weekend. But in the meantime, we just had a good show. I know I'm biased because, you know, it's our show, but it was a good show, objectively speaking and, you know, personally speaking.
If I've never heard the show, I would say this is the best episode I've ever heard in terms of wrestling podcasts.
All right. 14 out of 10, for sure.
That's right.
And what better way to wrap up a show that was better than perfect is with some plugs. So, Nick, take us out with some plugs, please.
You can follow me at Nick Pacone on Twitter and follow us at Shooters Radio on Twitter. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/TheStraightShooters. You can also find this podcast on phillyvoice.com and phillyinfluencer.com. And also, if you're into sports betting and sports gambling, hey, we just launched Fox Sports The Gambler in Philadelphia. It's on 102.5 FM and 1480 AM. But you can also download the iHeartRadio app and listen to it on there whenever, wherever you are. So, hey, man, if you're in sports betting, you know, get on that. We just launched on Monday. Sean Brace is the local show from 3 to 6 p.m. We got a lot of nationally syndicated shows. We got Dan Patrick and Colin Coward, which is funny because a lot of people in here in Philly aren't a fan of Colin Coward because of the things he says. But I think from what I hear, he enjoys us. He likes Philly. He knows he can get a reaction out of us. So he enjoys it. And a lot of people don't like him, but hey, he's on before Sean from like 12 to 3. So just check out the station. You know, again, Fox Sports, The Gambler, iHeartRadio app. It's been a very busy week so far, and I'm looking forward to being part of the station. You know, I've already done some things, and we'll see if, you know, I get on air sometimes doing a lot of behind the scenes activities there. But there's really, you know, like a mix of Philly sports and national sports too. And hey, once I get those wrestling odds emailed to me, maybe I'll go on there and talk about it. So if you're into that, you know, like, help us out, download the iHeartRadio app, and follow us on Twitter at FoxPHLGambler. That's on Twitter at FoxPHLGambler. And we're on Facebook and Instagram as well.
All right. Go check them out. New radio, new sports talk radio station in town, headed up by boy Sean Brace. So yeah, go check them out. Where all those places that Nick said. You can check me out, though, at Vaughn M. Johnson. Of course, you can, if I'm not on Twitter or social media altogether, you can check me out here in these streets. I typically am functioning as a normal human being in this here society. Of course, you can check us out on multiple platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, SoundCloud, Spotify, and, of course, the mothership, wildfireradio.com. Whew, that's a lot. You can rate and review subscribers on those platforms. Patreon.com/ShootersRadio for all 209 prior episodes. And of course, no, what am I talking about? I'm talking about Wi-Fi. That's Wi-Fi Radio. Patreon.com/ShootersRadio is where you can find our exclusive content. I'm mixing all of our platforms up. We got so many. It's hard to keep track of them all.
It is.
You can subscribe to that exclusive content for the nominal fee of $1.99 per creation. So for Nick Pacone, I'm Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening to episode 210 of The Straight Shooters, and we'll catch y'all again next week.
Peace.
You've been listening to The Straight Shooters on Wildfire Radio. For advertising opportunities, contact Nick Pacone via email at PaconeNick@gmail.com or call 856-625-1190.